Black are gold pants, 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 black. Podcast.
Greetings and welcome to episode 4 of Black Heart Gold Podcast. I'm Hawkeye State. Joining me as always is Oops Pow Surprise. Oops, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing pretty damn good on a Labor Day. How you doing?
Not too bad. Today's special guest is Peter Gomez, the younger brother of Pedro Gomez of ESPN. Also known as Crossside, who was the former writer at Clone Chronicles and who graced us with the beauty that was the Drunken Sturzing Potato Chip brand of 2008. We'll have that posted or reposted to be sure. Peter, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, and you don't have to be drunk to enjoy the fine taste of a Sturgeon's potato chip, as I'm sure you know.
Oh, that I do. I have a bag right here.
I wish they were easier to come by in Ames, but all I can ever find is the no salt added type, and honestly, if I'm going to eat a bag of Sturgeon's potato chips, I want to, you know, be on that first step towards heart disease.
I hear you there. So, Peter, Iowa State had far less trouble with their 1AA opponent than Iowa did last week. We didn't see the game because it was only being held or being broadcast by a local cable provider, but you were in attendance. What did you think of the team?
It was kind of one of those games where, you know, there's a difference between Iowa State and North Dakota State, and that was evident to see. Iowa State never really pulled away, but you never really got the feeling the game was in danger. We didn't show a whole lot of what we can do, and that's pretty obvious because there's more to the playbook than we showed against North Dakota State. We're not going to line it up against Iowa and run it like we tried to. I really just think we were trying to show as little as we could in preparation for the Iowa game, because I think you get a guy in Coach Rhodes that knows the importance of this rivalry, and as little as he could get by with doing against North Dakota State and still win is what he wanted to do.
I see from the stats that Arnaud ran the ball 17 times. Robinson ran another 16. Clearly, that doesn't seem to be your new offensive coordinator's MO. I guess from what you just said there, it sounds like that's more of an anomaly based on the fact that it was a 1AA team, and we'll see a lot more passing this week.
I think you'll see more passing, but, you know, they had a lot of trust in Austin, and they had a lot of trust in Alexander. The coaching staff just loves A-Rods, which, again, you guys can't call Etta Robinson A-Rods. We've got the A-Rods in the state right now. But
a little point of contention. I'm under the as I recall, you're calling him A. Robs, plural, and we just call Adam Robinson A. Rob, like singular. So I don't really see any reason why that can't continue.
Well, you know, I'm sure you guys know the original A. Rob, Sam Mack, but. He also went by Matt the Knife.
Nice.
I remember that well.
If you're a Cyclone fan, you got to be able to laugh at yourself.
This week, if you're an Iowa fan, you got to be able to do the same. So,
getting back to the offense, though, what I was going to say is they're still not going to be afraid to run ball with Alexander or Austin, just because they have a lot of trust in those two guys. As I'm sure you guys know, Austin's not the fleetest guy on the field, but he's a tough guy to bring down. And A-Rod is a really good fit for the offense because he can move out of the backfield and catch the ball, which I think you're going to see more of than you did. I think he had something like 30 yards receiving. I think you're going to see more of that this week.
Now, they started running the no huddle this week. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's kind of a misnomer because we ran the no huddle last year to an extent. Or the offense is similar to how it was last year. They're trying to refine it and get it quicker. It's just that we didn't have the greatest game manager, Robert McFarland, last year. And pop quiz, do you know where our offensive coordinator from last year's coaching right now?
I'm going to say Ames High.
No, he's a step below that. Gilbert High School freshman coach.
Nice. Oh, that's fantastic.
This is a guy that was hired away from Stephen F. Austin to be our offensive coordinator. He's the head coach at SFA.
That's a kick in the pants.
Yeah, but they won their first game, so he's got a personal one-game winning streak as well.
He could break out just like Iowa State did last week.
That's right.
How's the receiver core look?
We've got a lot of weapons. We've got Darks coming back off of the injury. He had a pretty serious hamstring injury. going into the summer, but I think he's starting to get healthy. He got some reps against North Dakota State, but he didn't really get the ball thrown inspection a whole lot. Cedric Johnson should be back too. He twisted his ankle, I believe, the first series. But between those two, Marquise Hamilton and Darius Reynolds, the internet legend who was actually a five-star quarterback, JUCO quarterback on scout, then Iowa State started recruiting him and he dropped a star. But he's been pretty legit. He was the best route runner, and once he overcomes the case of the Houston Joneses, which is dropping the ball anytime it's anywhere near you, he should be better than RJ Summerall was his senior year.
Summerall was pretty good.
Yeah. So Darius should be a pretty good possession guy. I'd have to say our two biggest deep threats are Marquise Hamilton and Cedric Johnson. And I'm interested to see how they match up against the Iowa secondary, who seemed to get challenged a little bit last week, and I can guarantee you that our receivers are better than you and I.
Well, it's the one thing that absolutely terrifies me about that game is we're still not going to have Sean Prater back from suspension. It's still going to be the same secondary as last week. And you and I was able to pick on Castillo or Lowe, depending on whichever series it was, pretty much all day. And when you're going four wide with that Tom Herman offense from last year at Rice, that's certainly a negative proposition for Iowa. I guess the concern all offseason seemed to be depth on the offensive line and talent level up front on defense. Is that still more or less the problem now?
The offensive line, that's a bit of an issue. Losing Hayworth Hicks, he's academically ineligible for the year, doesn't really help matters. But it's a group that is untested behind the first teamers. I'm not going to make any real comments on their talent because, they haven't had a whole lot of game action. So it's possible to say whether or not they can do the job. I'm encouraged by our offensive line. It's something like, I believe it was rated the biggest in Division 1A. And I think you've got a pro prospect at left tackle and Collegio Semele, all 340 pounds of them. I think it's a group that hasn't played together and as fast-paced of an offense as Herman brings. So I think we'll see them improve throughout the season, but they're going to face a challenge against Iowa as far as a defensive line that's experienced. So it's going to be interesting to see how they match up. When it comes to the defense, I don't know what I can really say about it. We've got experience, but I don't really know if it's a good experience. Nate Frere's decent up front, but we're surrounding him with guys like Austin Albertus and Rashawn Parker and Christopher Lyle, guys that best case scenario would probably be backups at a successful DCS school. But as I'm sure you guys all know, our guys tend to ramp it up just a little bit for the Iowa game, so
yeah,
we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, that part we know. Looking at it, at least based on what happened last week, it looks like it's going to be strength against strength, and that Iowa's defense, especially the front seven, seems to be the at least early on the strength of our team versus this offense, and an absolute pillow fight on the other side of the ball where North Dakota State ran for 210 yards, I think it was, against you guys, and we can't find a running back. It looks to me like it's going to end up being whoever wins the battle between your offense and our defense, and with a starting corner out, I don't like the odds of that.
And part of the thing with our defense is we gave up those 200 and some yards to North Dakota State on the ground. I believe nearly 110 of them came on two plays. So if we can get better at stopping the big play, one of them, I think a 40-yard gain was on our reverse, and a 60-yard gain was after like three broken tackles, and as I'm sure you guys tackling isn't exactly our strong point. So I'm really hoping this week they work on being able to wrap up. We still had way too many arm tackles. We got better with that with we replaced Brandon Hunley from Meister with David Sims. He's a JUCO guy that originally committed to Oklahoma out of high school, and somehow he ended up here, and he's by far the most impressive guy on defense from last week. I mean, if you look at the stats, Jesse Smith had something like 15 tackles, but David Sims was the standout player.
Now, up until about 2 years ago, the Achilles heel of Iowa State was always the kicking game. You could always count on Tony Yelk to miss one chip shot and at least two from halfway decent distance. But it seems that Mahoney's really settled in as a pretty decent kicker. You think that's about right?
Yeah, he's by far the best kicker on our roster, and from what I've heard, he's significantly better than Zach Geyer at both getting the kickoff quick and getting it off high enough. Grant's kind of a confidence guy, and the word is during practice early this year, his confidence was kind of shot. There's a challenge between him and Geyer for that starting kicking spot. But, you know, I think Mahoney's got ice water running through his veins. If any of you remember back when I was on the blog, he had posted a video of himself on YouTube doing a Lion King dance, just, you know, sort of with rap music in the background and a little bit of Soldier Boy stuff going on there. But he eventually took that down because he had to, but anyone who's got the balls to put something like that on YouTube, knowing that you're going to a D1 school to play football, I trust him to make the kicks. He attempted a 57-yard field goal against North Dakota State, and that came up just short, but I honestly think the coaching staff is comfortable using him out to 55 this year.
I just love that the player on your team that would post a video of himself on YouTube doing Soulja Boy is a kicker named Grant Mahoney.
He's a personal favorite of mine. Oh, that's what you want out of a kicker at Iowa State. No fear, because there's been too many damn missed kicks in the past.
Yeah, no kidding. So you still been following the ongoings at Cyclone Fanatic?
That place is sort of a zoo sometimes. You know, you get it was a nice place at the beginning when people that knew how to use the internet got on there and contributed actual thoughts. But it's hard to describe what that place is like. It's kind of like being at a tailgate or you know, watching football with your family and people making these assumptions after seeing 5 minutes of football of how things need to be or how things should be.
Let me follow up a little bit on this. I'm just going to read a quote from Cyclone Fanatic from one of the posters, and you can tell me whether you agree or disagree.
All right.
I'd rather play Iowa on Saturday, much more than you and I. We get way more fired up to play Iowa, and you and I plays with a chip on their shoulder a lot more frequently than ISU does. Agree or disagree, Peter?
That's kind of tough because I was just talking with someone, and I honestly feel that our guys would get more ramped up to play you than you and I, and I think you guys know that too.
But still,
I'm just saying if you're trying to find outlandish posts from that website, I don't know if that's the best you can do. There's a lot crazier shit on there. I don't know if that website's been good for Cyclone Athletics on the whole, just because you've got a lot more idiots voicing their displeasure, and people in the athletic department are aware of it. I mean, you have this where one of the biggest controversies started on that website was the playing of Sweet Caroline between the third and fourth quarters, and you know that the controversy started there, and now they've jerked around with that so much, the music they're going to play in between the third and fourth quarter, and it's something that no one should, you know, give a damn about. But
Wait. How did the controversy start over Sweet Caroline?
Because there's people going on there and posting that it's not a football song. you know, you've got the serious football game going on, and then all of a sudden Sweet Caroline comes over to the loudspeakers, and you get the student section dancing and everything to it.
Oh, but Hey Jude, on the other hand, really gets the crowd rocking.
Yeah, I mean, any Beatles stuff. But Neil Diamond's my football musician of choice. I could give two shits what music's being played on there as long as we're winning at the end of the third quarter and at the end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love Cyclone Fanatic. So, you got a prediction for this weekend?
You know, it's tough to make a prediction just because, again, as you guys know, crazy shit just seems to happen in this series. I'd be lying if I said I didn't think Iowa State would cover at the very least on a 7.5-point spread. I would say if Iowa State's able to win the turnover battle, they'll win. But it all comes down to a guy like Austin Arnaud is a really big momentum guy, and when things are going good for him, they can go really good, but if things start slipping away from him, he's a guy that will throw a few picks, and you get a bunch of new guys and younger guys in the first game that might not be able to hold on to the ball. So I'm going to qualify my prediction and say that Iowa State's able to pull it out by 6 points if they win the turnover battle, and they'll lose if they're -2. I think they could be -1 in the turnover battle and still win, but if they're -2, I think they'll lose.
Are they actually going to score a touchdown this year, or is this going to be year three?
I see him scoring a touchdown in the first 7 minutes.
Wow.
That's a bold prediction.
That's bold. We're holding you to that.
All right. We'll see what I do with they don't do that.
One more prediction from you, Peter, before we let you go. Will Iowa State's season collapse after the Iowa game, or will you wait until October 24th after Nebraska?
We've got Baylor on the schedule this year, and we've always had that game circled as one we can collapse in. Looking around the Big 12 North this year, I'm sure you guys saw that epic pillow fight between Colorado and Colorado State last night. Kansas State just edged out UMass. Those are the sort of teams that give me hope. Just because, you know, you've got a guy in Bill Snyder that's experienced, and he's still not doing shit at K-State. Because Ron Prince just got done trying to exercise what was left of the Bill Snyder era. And I don't know, but that whole situation, there's a clusterfuck. And as you can tell, that's one of my favorite words. And Dan Hawkins might not make it to the Iowa State game as head coach.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I was talking with Adam last night about whether Hawkins or L. Groh would get fired first. I think the consensus is Groh, but by a hair.
You look at Colorado message boards after that game, and they're wondering how they can get rid of both Hawkins.
Oh!
Wow.
I think Colorado might be a better fan of going to Tyler Hansen at quarterback, but it's hard to think that Iowa State can't have a chance in those two games just because both those programs are train wrecks in the same vein as Iowa State.
What do you see the final win tally being for ISU this year?
To me, it all comes down to this team can learn how to win. I've told people before that we won two games last year. We are oh so close to winning six. I mean, you guys saw the Iowa State game last year. If that game's played at Jack Trice, it might end differently. We had Kansas down 20. We took UNLV to overtime. We lost Colorado on the last play. So we're a bowl capable team this year. Because we were one of the worst tackling teams in the country last year, and we were that close. My honest prediction would be 3 to 5 wins, but I think it's a team that's capable of 7 or 8 if everything broke right.
Okay, so we're going to hold you to 3 wins then. That's going to be the headline.
All right.
All right, well, we'll let you go, Peter. Thanks for joining us today. Just a reminder that for the next 6 days, we totally hate your guts.
Oh, the feeling is mutual.
All right. Thanks again.
All right. Yep,
get out of here, you bastard.
And that's a wrap for episode 4. Our thanks to Peter for joining us. As we mentioned before, you can catch Peter occasionally spouting just a little bit of reason at Cyclone Fanatic, but when you're talking Cyclone Fanatic, a little bit of reason is basically all you can ask for. Be sure to catch us again next week. In the meantime, go Hawks. Beat State.